You're asleep, you're awake right now. When Jesus comes to meet us in the storms, let's read together. You can follow me. The text in Mark chapter 6 from 45 to 52. This is the word of God. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Late that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately, he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it's I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Have you ever had experience of a frustrated vacation? When you plan everything, you pack your bags, put some snacks inside, you have your tickets, you have your hotel reservation, and when it's time to leave for the trip of your dreams, an unforeseen event happens. Putting all your plan, all your entire agenda upside down, and frustrate all your expectations. I believe Jesus was planning a vacation in this text. I believe Jesus was planning a time of rest for the disciples at the moment. Jesus was planning a time for rest because they were so tired that they did not have even time to eat. In Mark 6 verse 31, just verses before, says, "Then, because so many people were come and going, that they did not even have a chance to eat, he," Jesus, "said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.'" So this was the idea of Jesus. He knew. The disciples were not so tired. They were very sad too. Just after that, they discovered that they had just received the painful news that John Baptist had been beheaded. Remember, John Baptist was Jesus' cousin. So they were tired, work all day with people, and a friend was executed. Jesus' cousin. So Jesus then is trying to give to the disciple a just and well-deserved rest. They try to take them to a loaning. You know, need a easy cool for some place. So stay where nobody will be close to them. So you see in Mark chapter 6 verse 32 said, "So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place." This is what Jesus planned, okay? Then the unexpected happened. When they arrived at the destination, a crowd of people, hungry and sick people, was already outside waiting for them to arrive. Mark 6 verse 33 said, "But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them." Jesus did not dismiss the crowd. The Bible said he canceled his holiday with the disciple and spent the day teaching and feeding the crowd. So Mark 6:34 says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. So from verse 35 to 44, we see that Jesus taught about the King of God the whole day. And in the end of the day, everybody was tired and very hungry. They don't have time to come back to buy things. So they were hungry. So Jesus prayed over the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looked up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves, and they fed more than 5,000 people that day. I think that day the disciple was counting the hours. If they have a watch, they see like how many minutes Jesus will finish that so we can have our vacation. The whole day. So they were waiting for that. For this time, it is special time with Jesus. Jesus invited them, let's go a quiet place to rest. But instead of traveling with the disciple, Jesus told them to go back to the other side, to come back and before the crowd. Jesus stayed with the crowd and sent them back alone. Go back for the other side. Mark chapter 6, 45 to 46. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. So, when I was reading this text today, came one question for me, is why Jesus sent the disciples away? Why? And I believe Jesus wanted to protect them from a temptation. In John chapter 6, verse 14, 15, says, after the people saw the sign Jesus performed when he multiplied the bread, the whole thing, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who has come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intend to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. So when I read this text in John, I just started to think that probably Jesus was protecting the disciples because the disciple was not ready for that kind of test. Remember that the disciples were the view of the kingdom in their heart is still very political. They didn't understand yet about the spiritual realm. They didn't understand. And Jesus want to protect them for this situation. So having this background, I found here 6 lessons about the storms of our lives and our relationship with Jesus. The first lesson I found is many times our obedience will lead us to the center of the storm. I repeat, many times our obedience will lead us to the center of the storm. What can you say when we obey God? This act, this obedience, lead me to a trouble. Because I believe in God, I go to jail. Because I want to serve Him, the police or people are against me and my family. They persecute me. Why? Jesus did not ask the disciples. The Bible said that he compelled. He said, get out of here. Go back. Leave. Was not a request. Was a command. And they obey. The disciple had no choice. They should obey. And by obey, they will stop in the eye of a storm. And many times this happened with us. Because of our faith, we many times will be in the middle of a storm. How do you understand that? Why does God allow us to be caught by a diverse situation? Why does God push us to the epicenter of the crisis? Why? Why do tragic accidents, painful losses, and serious illness strike? Those are doing God's work. Why? It's easy to believe that obedience always leads us to a garden full of flowers. But it's hard when we obey, we get in trouble. Just because of our faith. Just because of our faith. The presence of problems, troubles, does not mean that we are out of God's purpose, or that God is indifferent to our pain. The difference between a saved and a lost is not what happened to both, but the foundation upon which each builds his life. It's not what happened. Jesus said that a fool builds his house in the sand, but the wise man builds in it on the rock. On the true house falls the same rain on the roof, blows the same wind on the wall, and hits the same river on the foundation. One house falls, and other remains stand. What the differentiates one house from another house is not the circumstance, but the foundation. So yeah, obey God, obey Jesus, will take us many times to the center of storms. But you need to hold in our foundation. The second lesson I saw here in this text is the Lord sees when we pass through our storms of life. The Lord sees when we pass through our storms of life. Mark 6:48 says, he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. The Lord sees us when we are in trouble. You are not alone. I'm not alone. Most of you probably didn't know, but when I was 25 years old, I had cancer. And I discovered just 3 months before marriage with Andrea. And it was an awful time. I was 25 years old only. And I was finishing my seminar. And I was in the middle of the seminar. I was with my heart to offer myself to go to missions. And I keep my life. We waited. We 3 years, 4 years. We were dating and wait for the marriage. Everything was ready for the marriage. 3 months before, I discovered that I had cancer, and I called her one day in the seminar, 3,000 kilometers from her. She was preparing our wedding, already everything. And when I called her to say, Andrea, you know, it's better we not get married. In my practical mind, it's better leave a single than a widow. But when I call her, the another side, at the time we use the, you know, with big phone, yeah, and put like there. And when I start to say things to her, she said from the other side, she said, Marcus, if God give us 3 months of life, 3 months of marriage, we will be happy for 3 months. So I understand that was a very hard time for me and for her. But one thing that gave me comfort and hold me during the whole process, because I really feel that God was near. The eye of Jesus was on me. And I didn't understand. I not pretend to say that was easy. No, I'm going to die and go to heaven. No, it was not like that. Okay? I cried so many times. And in a moment of cry, in some way, God gave me, I don't know, but give some energy in my, and I start to laugh in the middle of prayer or something weird. And give me relax so I can sleep. But Psalm 33, verse 18 says, but the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in His unfailing love. God, Jesus is seeing you what you are going through right now. He knows you. You are not alone. Often the great storms we face are not those that happen outside of us, but the storm that happened inside our soul. But we are not alone. We are not alone. The third lesson we see is Jesus always comes to meet us at the time of the storm. He always comes. He always comes. Jesus did not arrive late to the lake. He arrived on the right time. He was not late. He arrived on the right time. His help came at the right time. And the same thing helps with me and helps with you at the right time. Many times, and most of the time, will not be your time. We wait. But in His time. In His time is the perfect one. The storm had only one purpose, to lead the disciples to a deeper experience with Jesus. Storms are not autonomous. Nor come by chance. There is a purpose about that. Storms do not come to destroy us. Storms come to strengthen us. God uses our tribulations to bring us to maturity, to grow on Him in our faith. The disciples met Jesus in a deeper way after that storm. The same way, remember the story with Lazarus. Jesus waited, and the disciples said, why not come first? Why do you not come early? Jesus did not arrive late there in Bethany. He arrived in the right time, in the right day, according to His will. He also knows the Christ that has come in your life. He knows your pain. He sees your tears. He is near on you on those nights where sleep does not come. Jesus is there. Jesus is there. And He comes to meet you, to help you, to reach you, to calm your soul on the storm. The fourth lesson. Jesus has come to meet us even on the fourth watch of the night. Jesus has come to meet us even on the fourth watch of the night. The nights for the Jews were divided in four. Four watches, four vigils, how we call it? In Portuguese it's vigilia. So I saw in the word in English was vigils. Vigils, yes. But yeah, when there's two new words for me, I'm so insecure to say. So vigils, you understand what I mean. So Jesus has come to meet us even on the fourth watch or fourth vigils of the night. So the night was divided by Jews in four. So the first from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. The second from 9 p.m. to midnight. The third from 3 o'clock in the morning until, the midnight to 3 o'clock in the morning. And the fourth from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. I hope one day I can go to visit this lake. I don't know how big it is. Maybe you already went there. But what I understood, look for the text, is the disciples start to paddle in the end of afternoon. I don't know how big. Probably it's not so big like Issyku. I don't know. I really don't know. But they start in the end of afternoon. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. And they still in the middle of the lake. It was a lot. Sometimes we also have the feeling that our effort is not enough. We try all the time. We keep trying. But we cannot go out for the trouble, for the storm of our life. I think it was this feeling that the disciple was feeling that moment. They try with all their strength to get out. But they still in the middle of the storms. However, when all seems lost, when we arrive at the dark hour of the dawn of our story, Jesus appears to put the end to our suffering. Jesus always comes to meet us in our troubles. We need to understand that. The Lord does not come when we want, but the Lord comes when we need. We need to understand that. God did not deliver Daniel's friends from the furnace. But God delivered them inside the furnace. God did not deliver Daniel out of the den of lions. God delivered him from there. There is a right time. God did not deliver Peter from prison, but in prison. But there is time, we know, when God does not free us from death. This happened. It still happened. God does not always save us from suffering. But He delivers us and leads us to the Father's house through Him. God did not deliver Paul from the condemnation. He died. But He will lead back home. We have so many brothers and sisters that were executed even today, you know, because of their faith. God could save them? Yes. But He chose not. It was time to go home. To go home. And we need to understand that. I know that there is a mixed feeling. And we share with Paul, when Paul said, I don't know what I want because, you know, in my flesh, I want to go to heaven, but in my flesh, I want to do remember this verse. We share the same feeling. So we read so many things about heaven and say, it's our home. But our nature, our humanity, but still, I don't want to go. I want to leave. My father-in-law says, this was before, okay? Before when we married 24 years ago. I did it right, 24, okay? So when we married 24 years ago, my father-in-law says, okay, I will live 119 years, okay? So after 24 years old, now he is 78. So he's still start to feel pain, you know, the whole thing, the age stuff. So he already said, no, 119 is too much. I can go early. Maybe 100, it's fine. because to keep until 119 is too much. But what I didn't say here is, doesn't matter. What is more important that we are with the Lord. And will be struggle when will be our time to go. But God will send the Holy Spirit in us, will lead us, will speak in our heart to prepare us. And if we are too scared and think too much about death, it's because it's not time yet. Because on the right time, when it will be your time, the angels will come and the Holy Spirit will speak with you so loud that you feel, it's time to go. I'm glad to go. I believe on that. Okay, I'm not. I believe on that. Okay, fifth point here. Jesus come to meet us, walk on the waves. What I mean by that? I believe the disciples, in some way, the disciple was in the middle of the lake. The wind is throwing them for one side, for the another side. I believe in their heart they were. Where Jesus? He did that before. Why he did come to save us? I think this is this kind of feeling in their hearts. So I believe the disciples are hoping somehow that Jesus would come help to them. But when he came, they didn't recognize him. They were afraid. And just one come in my mind is sometimes this happened with us. We are praying for some things happen, but because come in a different form, in a disguise, the gift come in a different form, we didn't recognize. But it was from God. The waves that threat us are literally under Jesus' feet. He has the control of everything. Jesus is greater than our problems. The storm of our lives may be beyond our control, but it's not beyond Him. And this is why we need to trust Him and really open our hearts and say, no, Jesus, I cannot handle that. Only You. Help me. You may be dealing with a problem that has challenged you for years. You are already tired. Perhaps all hope of salvation has already dissipated in your heart. Your marriage is sinking. Your company is failing. Your health is shaking. You did everything you could do. But still your boat is spinning in the middle of the storm. In the deepest and most dangerous place. You're still there. At these times, we need to really remember. It's necessary to know that Jesus come by step on the waves. He has the control. The danger that threatens you is under the Lord's feet. He is greater than all crises that conspire against you. Secondly, here, Jesus makes the storm itself His way into our lives. Jesus makes the storm itself His way into our lives. He not only walks on the storm, on the waves, but makes it the road to assess our lives. Do you know? Because why we pray more when we are in trouble? It's our nature. Most of us, I cannot say 100%, but I know me, myself. The time that you pray more, the time that you start to read more the Bible, is when we are in the storm. When you are walking in a garden full of flowers, everything is fine, you have money in your pocket, you pay all your debt to the school, you pay your bills, you have a nice car. Do you know, you just, yeah, maybe next week I go to the church. Maybe, yeah, I pray. You know, but when you feel sick, No money, none. Oh, I need to go to the church. I need to go to the prayer meeting. Please, brother, sister, pray for me. We try to do everything because you're in need. So God really used this moment of suffering to speak loud to your soul. The prophet, okay, now, Nahum, okay, sorry, it's, says in chapter 1, verse 3, that the Lord has His way in the whirlwind and the storm. This is how the Lord works. More people meet with the Lord in the dark night of the soul than in the shine mornings of the life. This is the truth. The richest experience of life are experienced in the valley of pain. I confess you that I don't remember to feel my soul praying as much that when I was sick in 1995. That moment of in the dark valley, in the valley of death, when I was in São Paulo, I was a seminarist, just a student, when I was in the church, because I have to preach on Sunday there, like a training, and this church has a second floor, I was sleeping there alone, and I can hear during the night, São Paulo during the night, that place where I was, we can see the the gangs around, and I pray and I cry. In that moment, I was really a deep relationship with God under the fire. Sixth and last, okay? Jesus comes to calm the storms of circumstance from inside of our lives. It's not outside. He needs to come inside of our lives. A storm does not last a lifetime. No one could endure lifetimes stamped by turbulence. Praise the Lord. There are times of refreshment, the rest. The Bible says the weeping may last a whole night, but joy comes in the morning. Jesus, after he calmed the disciples, remember the test, they say, hey, don't worry, it's me. I'm here. It's me, Jesus. The Bible said, after he calmed the disciples, he ended the storm from inside the boat. When he stepped inside the boat, you see in the verse, the wind went down. The storm stopped only after Jesus got into the boat. And for me, is your life, you are in a storm. Maybe even you don't know Jesus. Maybe you are come to the church to learn English, and you are in the storm. I want to say to you, this Jesus, our Jesus, has the power to stop your storms, or at least give you strength how to handle, how to survive, how to strive, to thrive. But you need to invite Him inside the boat. If you have Jesus in your life, you have to let Him to get in. For your personal life. There is no personal life with Jesus. He knows you, He knows me inside out. He knows everything. We can hide for people. I can hide even for my wife. But to Jesus, we can't. He created you. He knows you. And He has the best thing for you. He He knows your suffering, what you're going through right now. So my challenge is just say, Jesus, come and fast. I need you to come in my boat. In my boat. In my boat. Mark chapter 6, verse 49 to 51. But when they saw him walk on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cry out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed. Jesus still continues to calm the storms our lives. It's not only for the disciples there. Still today. Your storm may be greater than you, but it's under Jesus' feet. Things may be even out of your control, but never out of the control of our God. So how can we summarize? I know it's a long thing, but the Lord is with us to deliver us and lead us to our final destination. In our spiritual journey, Jesus, it's looking for you. It's looking for me. When Jesus got on the disciples' boat, the wind ceased. And when disciples received Jesus on the boat has arrived in their destination. We need Jesus to lead us to our final step. We will also arrive safe and secure to our destination. The storm of our life can be terrible. It's true. Remember, Jesus did not invite us to live a Christian happy life. Jesus invited us to carry the cross. And I don't know nobody who can carry a cross. Do you know? Remember? So nice. It's a cross. It's an instrument of punishment. So, if you try to come to Christ, to Jesus, to just to be happy, for some Pentecostal church in Brazil, they use like a credit card Jesus, because it just asks and it will be yours. This kind of mentality. This is not the real message that Jesus brings to us. The storm of our lives can be terrible and long. It may even delay our arrival. But you never prevent us from reaching safe and secure in the heavenly harbor. We will arrive because of Him, because of Jesus Christ. Even if death does come, it cannot keep us from our eternal home. We need to understand that death for us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is not a defeat. But it's victory. It's not a failure, but promotion. It's not the end, but the beginning of our the closest relationship with God in heaven. We are not alone. Jesus is with us and come to us in the moment of our storms. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you very much for your word. Yeah, we have so many issues in our lives. Everyone here in some way are in the middle of a storm. There is no exception. Or maybe if you are not today, maybe tomorrow. But thank you for the certainty we have that we are with us. And your eyes is over our family, over our children, of our future. And thank you because you, Jesus, it's enough for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.